It's the wrong time of day to do any preaching. Does it feel like nap time to anybody else? Okay. Well, then there's no pressure. None at all. Any NASCAR fans here today? I mean, I admit I'm not. You know, NASCAR, kind of interesting little factoid for you. They race at the Daytona 500 or down in Brooklyn. Whoever wins, wins what? Trophy, cup, some kind of thing. Except if you race in Martinsville, which is the shortest track in the sprint car circuit. If you win down there at Martinsville, which is the shortest track, and some of the drivers say the hardest one, guess what you win? In a million, if we stayed here all day, you'd never get this. Grandfather clock. And Richard Petty is the record holder with grandfather clocks. He has 12. I don't know how big his house is, but that would be like a grandfather clock in the kitchen, all the bathrooms. Tick, tock, tick. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I had a point here. You know, sometimes we talk about victory, and in the world of sports, that's pretty easy to tell, right? You've got a grandfather clock. You're the winner. Or it's the ninth inning, there are a couple men on, and somebody throws that hanging curveball to Cabrera, and he just launches it 400 feet into the center field, and the Tigers win the game. That's easy to tell, right? Or even last week, the Detroit Lions pulled off a victory, beat the 4-0 Philadelphia Eagles. Easy to tell. Question is, though, in our Christian walk, how do we know if we're winning? You ever feel like you're getting ahead? Ever feel like you're falling behind? Ever feel like you don't know what place you're in life? And our theme for our revival is victory. But what does victory look like for Christian people? That's harder to tell. And I'm not sure if I have complete answers or not. I know this much. Scriptures say that if God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, so let's close our Bibles and go to the next thing. But if we did that, you wouldn't get to hear my three brilliant points. So bear with me here. How do we know? Well, I think there's some things we need to keep in mind about victory and what it might look like for us as Christian people. Number one of my three brilliant points, this is the first one. Normal rules do not apply. Normal rules do not apply. Because Jesus decided to change them. In the Sermon on the Mount, what place are the people who are first given? Last. So he changed the rules. Fifth chapter of Matthew, Jesus makes statements like, "You have heard that it was written, but I say," if you look at your brother or you look at your neighbor with hate and evil intent, you've committed murder. If you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery. See, the rules have been changed, and Christian people, believe it or not, we're not playing by the same rules that the rest of the people in the world are. They're just different. Every now and again, someone will come up and they'll say, "Mark, you got any kids?" And I say, "Oh, I used to. Now I've got three grown men. They still need a beating, but they're so fast I cannot catch them." And three boys, three beautiful little preacher brats that We were raised in number one and number three, talkers. I mean, you know, they had heard the old saying that the closed mouth doesn't get fed. You know what I'm saying? Like, these boys were, you know, they get up in the morning and they were talking. But the middle boy hardly said a word. We used to lose that kid all the time. But Chris, the middle son, it was his first day of kindergarten, and his mom is a teacher, and, you know, we were kind of in that loop so that everything that the children did, we heard about. So it's first day of kindergarten, and we send little Christopher off to school, and, you know, like the first few days of school, the teachers spend a lot of time herding the kids around. It's like herding cats, you know. You've got to get everybody in. Kids are pushing, and everybody wants to be what?
First.
And my little boy, he stood there. We got the whole story. And he said, "You guys, the Bible says the first will be last." And I think, go, preacher kid. You stand up for the faith once for all delivered to the saints and just preach on. You guys, the first will be last. I was so proud of my boy. Because he'd learned a valuable lesson about the rules being different for us. You know, we live kind of in a push and shove world and a push and shove society, and everybody wants to get ahead. And I guess maybe that is okay so long as we are not doing that at the expense of others. And to some, I guess it just doesn't matter. Run over anybody to get what you want, and that is just wrong. Because for us, the rules have changed. Jesus changed them. The first are last, and the last, consequently, are first. I think that's an important concept for us to remember. It's fairly basic elementary Christianity, but so often we lose sight of that, that this is what victory really is, as we are following God's will and doing God's will in life, like applying that message of others are first and I must be second. That is the road to victory. Okay, that was brilliant point number one. Let's go to two. As long as we are in the race, we are winning. Remember the fable about the tortoise and the hare? There's no way that animal should have been beaten by that amphibian, right? Bunny rabbits are fast little critters. I mean, I've seen them, but if you haven't, take my word for it. Hippity hop, boom, they're movers. But turtles are not. Shouldn't have been a contest, right? You ever wondered, though, why was it that the hare lost the race? It's because he kept getting out of the race. And every time we get out of the race, or we stop walking the walk, we're losing. But we need to realize, as long as we are in the race, we're going to be winners. Yeah. There's a word in the Greek that's called peripateo. You don't need to remember that. It will not be on the quiz at the end of the sermon. But basically that word means to walk. And in the Greek idea of walking, it wasn't just, you know, merely the physical movement of our legs and body from point A to point B. It had to do with lifestyle. Peripateo. And John told his readers in the first epistle of John that our walk needs to mirror his walk. You are first. I am content to be second. We are winning so long as we are still in the race. I think that's kind of good news, don't you? Because we're not really working in the sense that we are trying to earn some kind of heavenly points. That's where grace comes in. We're not earning anything. We are living to please Him. And we cannot stop doing the things that we know to be right. But every day, we need to think, okay, I'm in the race and today's a new day. I need to start doing the things that are right. Jesus talked in the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 24. There He said, you make every effort to enter through the narrow door. And that word, every effort, is really interesting. It's really an athletic word picture. Literally, make every effort translates to strain every nerve. Your kids, like, they can get on your last nerve, you know, or the guy or the woman at work. Here, Jesus said, you're walking a walk, you're going to enter through the narrow door, and you're going to strain every nerve to get there. It's a word from an athletic contest that means to fight or to struggle or to labor. It's an intense word. Every effort, every nerve, fight, struggle, labor. Because as long as we are in the race, we are what? Winning. I like winners. Because I'm glad that God made me one. Okay. As long as we are in the race, we are winning. Number three. There is a finish line and the clock is ticking. There is a finish line and the clock is ticking. You know, some days, you ever said that? Someday. See, the clock's ticking. And some days are going to get hard to come by. You know what I mean? A friend of mine, I'm up from down here from Mount Pleasant. Guy I used to know. I don't know how we got on this subject, but he said to me one day, Mark, I heard a preacher say, the old must and the young may. Clock is ticking. Our time here is not infinite. There is a finish line, and the clock is ticking. And some days can get hard to come by, you know? You think of it another way, in some instances, we're just one bad x-ray from running out of some days. But as long as we're in the race, we're what? We're winning. That's because Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 10, this I've made a memory verse, and I bet you know it too. Think about it. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Yeah, not a grandfather clock. The crown of life. Be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown of life. You know, the rules, the normal rules, they don't apply because Jesus has changed them. As long as we're in the race, folks, we are winning. There is a finish line. The clock is ticking. But the promise is, be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown of life. That sounds like eternity to me. You know? A couple more here. Think about that. If we die, the old must, the young may, or if He comes again. I mean, if we don't get to conclude our services today because it's interrupted by the second coming. That'd be a good conclusion too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What does that make us? Winners. And winning is a lot like victory. And victory is what was won for us when Jesus went to the cross so that we could have eternity. And that we would ultimately, you know, life is hard. But there's victory for faithfulness and doing the things that are good and right. You know, think about that. In my life, I need to put you first. I need to find a way to make me second because the rules have changed. As long as I'm doing that, I know that I'm in the race. And as long as I am in the race, I know that there's an end game there. I know the clock's ticking, but I know if I remain faithful unto death, crown of life. Yeah. Amen. Okay, I think I've got enough amens. I should stop right there. Well.